Hello, and welcome to episode 13 of the Stone Age Gamer Podcast. Today's episode is called A Blight on Society. Enjoy. Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stone Age Gamer episode 13 for the week of August 25th, 2014. My name is Chris, and I'll be the host for the evening. And with me, as always, is Dan Ryan.
Hey, everyone.
Hi, Dan. Special guest tonight, because two of our members are missing in action, is our good friend, Angie Batgirl.
Howdy.
Batgirl is her legal last name, we think. Yes, Dean is with us in spirit. He's communicating with us via the Skype chat, which is super fun. But he's not actually here on the show because his microphone is packed up. Because tomorrow we're heading to Garden State Comic Fest and we're going to do a live Paper Cuts podcast, our comic book podcast. And we're all going to yammer on about comic books and stuff. But that's not tonight. Tonight is all about video games. We'll be doing a quick run around the room about the games we've been playing lately. And then we're going to take a break, do our feature topic, which is going to be comic book video games. So, well, let's start with our guest. Angie, what have you been up to?
I haven't actually been playing any video games lately, but Professor Layton versus Phoenix Wright is coming out soon, and I'm very excited to play that.
Oh, my God, that is coming. That thing's been, like, in production for 9 million years. Or at least I feel like they've been talking about that game forever and ever.
Well, I think a lot of that came from the fact that I've never played the Phoenix Wright games, which I think makes me a terrible person. Or is
that,
one of the
amongst
things,
other things.
Amongst others, that makes me a terrible person. But, like, haven't fans been talking about, wouldn't it be awesome if these games crossed over for, like, a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's why maybe it feels so long that it's actually happening now. It's like, we've been talking about this game for, I don't even want it now. Take like a very hipster attitude towards it.
Oh, I want it now. I mean, it's getting a lot of positive feedback, but it's also been out in Japan for like a year or two. So I guess that's just, it's such a massive undertaking translating that game because there's so much text. But you know, then again, the Phoenix Wright, the Ace Attorney series hasn't been known for the best translations in the history of mankind.
Isn't that part of its charm, though, from what I understand?
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah.
Angie, you've played, which ones like of both of these series, what have you played?
The first two for Phoenix Wright, and then I'm on the fourth one for Layton, whichever one has the London life in it. I forget.
Oh, geez, I don't know. See, I actually never finished the first one because I'm really stupid, apparently. I used up like all my coins on the fifth puzzle or something. For anybody who doesn't know, the Layton games are all these brain teasers. So you like walk into this town, you're trying to solve some mystery, and you got this weird sidekick named Luke who kind of talks like this.
I love Luke.
I say, maybe if I played the game longer, maybe if it didn't infuriate me, we were just like, you know, you've got these cups and each cup has a rubber band around it. And then there's a ball underneath the rubber band. And, you know, how many burritos does it take to fill an Eskimo? And I'm just like, how do any of these things relate to one another? And so you get these coins and you can use the coins to give you hints and shit. And so I used up all the coins and I was like, fuck this game. Fuck it so hard. I want to like it because the production values are great. It's got these, you know, and then they kept getting better as the games went on. Like once they got the 3DS, they had these really high quality cutscenes, but I just couldn't figure out the puzzles because I'm an idiot, I guess. I don't know. But I did play through the first Phoenix Wright from beginning to end, and that game knocked my socks off. And I have unfortunately not played through any of the other ones, but they are releasing a Phoenix Wright collection for the 3DS. So I'll probably use that as an excuse to play the other ones.
That's a good enough excuse. I mean, it's unfortunate that you never finished the Professor Layton games. One, because they're awesome. Like, two, running out of coins. I mean, if only there was some other way, some sort of web-connected, I know this is kind of future crazy talk, but some sort of interface, perhaps on a computer, where you could maybe look some of this shit up if you got stuck. I mean, God, that'll never happen, because, you know, we ain't
look, crazy, but look, you, I'm not a cheater, all right? I'm not going to just go online and get all the answers. Fuck,
it's not cheating if you try first.
Yeah, really. Thank you, Angie.
I will fully admit I use the guide occasionally because there are puzzles that, oh my god, I'm a genius, and there's ones that, like, what is this thing I'm holding? Like, it feels like a rock all of a sudden because I can't figure it out.
Yeah, that's how I felt about the whole game.
I use strategy guides. I'm not ashamed to admit.
The store and buy the strategy guides, flip through the pages.
I don't buy shit. Game facts, son.
Strategy guides. We should do an episode about strategy guides sometime.
We should.
The eternal whatever. Were those things ever... Yeah, they were definitely useful at one point, but they haven't been useful in a long time. But Prima keeps printing them.
Yeah.
They just keep printing the shit out of those things. And GameStop really wants you to buy them.
They really do. Buy the strategy guide for this new wrestling game. What? Suplex the shit out of the guy. Next.
Buy the strategy guide for Madden. What's the strategy? Play football.
Score touchdowns.
The strategy guide is written by John Madden. Chicken wings. You're good at chicken wings. You want to score touchdowns to win the game. Really, what you want is the offense to score touchdowns. That's what you're going for. And it's the hot wings. You got to get the chicken wings. And turkey, Thanksgiving.
Oh, shit.
Angie, you've been playing anything else? Anything else?
No, I haven't.
All right, then, we're going to move on to Dan. Dan, what have you been playing?
Unfortunately, not Madden, although I really want to go play Madden right now. I just have this desire to hear that inane commentary spewed into my ear holes. Really, the only thing I've had time for this week is Fez, which I know I'm about, like, 4 years late on Fez because I'm not cool enough to be a PC gamer. And it's just, I don't know, I want the game to be better than it is. It's a good game. Like, there's a lot of really cool concepts in Fez, and my kids really like playing it with me. Like, they get all freaked out by the black holes and stuff, and they're like, "Oh, watch out, it's a black hole." But like, the game is just really obtuse. There's a lot of stuff in the game where it's like you're not being clever if you just hide shit and give me no recourse to help, right? Like, I'm not you. I didn't make this game, so I don't know what you were thinking. And I'm just going to – trial and error is never – it's never been a fun video game trope, right? Like, trial and error is bullshit. So, I don't know. I'm still going to play through it. I'm still enjoying it, but after watching the documentary, I think it's called like Indie Game or something like that, where they talk to the creator.
Oh, yeah, was that Fez. Indie Game, the movie?
Yeah, something like that. He spent most of that movie walking around kind of complaining about how everybody hates him. And after playing his game, I kind of understand why. Because the game makes him seem like a dick somehow.
I remember seeing the trailer for this when they first announced it. And thinking, oh my god, I cannot wait to get this game. Because it's like, it looks like all 2D, and then you can just freeform rotate the 2D environments in 3D space. And it affects the level layouts and everything. And it was a really clever idea. And I actually remember seeing trailers for this around the same time as Super Paper Mario came out, which did a similar thing. And I was so stoked to play this game. The character's really cute, too. He's a little white marshmallow looking dude with a fez on just looks neat, but I got into the game and I got like maybe an hour or two into it, and I just kept going through doors after doors after doors, and I lost my sense of place. And I think that's something that because the game really essentially boils down to the Metroidvania type of game, and I hate using that term, Metroid style game, because Castlevania aped Metroid. So
certainly.
That's right, Mike. You're not on the show, so you don't get to complain. You don't get to argue.
That's
Castlevania
right.
Ape Metroid. Metroid did it first.
It's
a Metroid style game.
Castlevania.
That's right. Well, don't fuck Castlevania. Castlevania's awesome, but you know what I mean. Well, anyway. Metroid style game. It's essentially open world. You have all these different places that you can go, but you have to have a sense of place in order for this kind of thing to work. And Fez does a really bad job of giving you a sense of place. It's like, you have to do this thing and then you find another place. Well, I need to get into here, so I'm going to try going over here. But then that gives you three more branches to go to. And then each one of those is three more branches to go onto. And it's so easy to get just lost in this world, or these worlds, as it were, because it's, correct me if I'm wrong, it's like little planetoids almost that you go to back and forth.
They're like little hubs and shit. And
yeah.
And that's what I mean. Like, when I say that the game is obtuse, that's really what I mean. Like, I've been playing it for a few hours and I have no idea where I am. I have no idea how to get back to where I need to be. The world map that you can bring up is completely useless.
Yeah, it's fucking useless.
It's like, hey, look, here's a square that has a picture of the place that you've been. Like, fuck, whatever, dude. Like, there's just no, it just doesn't make any sense of how you get from one place to another. At least not to me. And maybe, you know, I don't know. Like I said, there's a lot about this game that, to me, this game was made for people who argue that music sounds better on vinyl. You know what I mean? It's like you just don't get it crowd.
Yeah.
Which I've never been a big fan of. And like I said, I mean, I'll play through it and I'll finish it. And I will probably use a strategy guide and not feel bad about it, because I don't like to do things that piss me off. So I'll just cheat my way through the game and be happy about it.
Well,
yeah,
whatever you have to do, right?
You know,
it's hugely disappointing.
Yeah, I put it like this. It was the free game for PS Plus this month. I would have been pissed if I'd have purchased it, but it was free. I mean, I know technically I did purchase it with my membership, but I didn't spend any extra on it, so I'm not all that upset.
All right, that's Fez.
What about you, Chris? What have you been playing?
Well, I haven't had a ton of time for game playing this week. I've done two major things, three major things. The first and silliest thing is not really playing games, but I feel like I've been having a hard time getting to sleep at night, so I've been watching a lot of video game infomercials, specifically the CDI infomercial, because it just puts me to sleep. So there you go. It's just YouTube CDI infomercial. It's, you know, this guy named Phil talking to a giant wall about how great CDI is. It's it's fantastic. If you haven't seen it, you should see it.
Relative success of the CDI?
Oh, definitely. Well, I remember my sister and I used to see this infomercial on Sunday mornings and beg our parents to go out and spend the like couple $1,000 or whatever on a CDI because we wanted to play Link Faces of Evil. Well, we all know how that turned out. It looked so cool on the CDI ad. Whatever. God damn it. I jumped back into my Animal Crossing village this week. I am the mayor of East Todd and have been the mayor of various incarnations of East Todd for years and years. I think actually, Angie, when the GameCube Animal Crossing came out, you visited East Todd once or twice, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Those were the days. East Todd is it's always what I call my villages in Animal Crossing. And it had been a couple of weeks since I picked it up. But what's great about the 3DS one is that I have it as a download title. So it's always on my 3DS. So if I'm like on my lunch break or something, listen to a podcast, I can play Animal Crossing in the background and just go around and pick weeds and dig up fossils and stuff. And it was pretty cool. I actually, because it's on my system, I do tend to pick it up every couple of weeks or so. And, you know, the weeds weren't too out of control. What's fun about this one is that if in any other Animal Crossing game, you don't play the game for a long time, you get all these weeds. They pop up all over the place. Now, I did skip the previous Animal Crossing. I didn't play Animal Crossing on Wii because it looked like the exact same game as the DS game. And I played the shit out of that. And I played the shit out of the GameCube one. I just wasn't ready to do it again. So I don't know if this existed in that one, but in the 3DS game, if you don't play for like a couple of weeks and you come back to it, there's the guy who runs the flower shop in your town. He's like standing there in the middle of your town just looking exhausted. He's like, weeds, so many weeds everywhere. I'm trying to pick them all. there's this many weeds left, and they make it into a game, like, can you find all the weeds and pick them all, and how fast can you do it? And that just motivated me to do it, so I did. I ran around, and I picked all the weeds, and it was fun, and I've collected all the fossils, and I'm just moving on to bugs and fish and whatever the hell else goes in the museum, and I paid off another loan on my house, and it's I'm expanding one of the rooms. I can't even remember what I did. I was just like, sure, Tom, take my money. Fucking Tom Nook. Swear to God.
Such a bastard. It's such a bastard. Weird game. I only ever played the GameCube version because there's no reason that game should be successful. It's the weirdest. It's one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had playing a game. Because
it's just so damn charming, you know? It
really is, but it shouldn't be. how the fuck do I care about going to pick weeds? Like, it's just a weird, like, I'm going to go fishing, and I'm going to go dig up fossils to put shit. Like, go to a real fucking museum. They got some really impressive fossils, you know? Like,
that's but true.
I did the same goddamn thing. Like, I was playing the GameCube versions as an adult male in college, worrying about getting a matching set of furniture for my virtual GameCube bullshit. Like, there's no reason it should be successful, but you're right. It's just, it's so charming.
Yeah, and the games have been very iterative, but I think skipping a generation did me a world of good because it had been a long time since I played it, and jumping back into the 3DS one made me a very happy guy. It was a lot of fun to have that back in my life, and also to have so many people around me that were playing it as well. So I went to all these other people's towns because you can just visit other people's towns online in this one, which is great. And just being able to go to all these different places and see all the fun little items, and I don't know anybody who's still playing it, but you know, I still get new people come into my town from time to time, new inhabitants to talk to and give me weird nicknames, but no, it's a good time. So I'm glad I went back to that. And the only other thing I played this week was I beat another stage in Shovel Knight, which I've already talked to. We've all talked about this show on the show for at great length. It's Shovel Knight. It's amazing. I played the Propeller Knight stage, which was that stage was a bitch because Shovel Knight has, much like Mega Man, one-hit kills when there's spikes involved. So if you, like, step on a thumbtack, you're fucking dead. Just one-hit kill. So this stage, Propeller Knight stage, has all these fans and stuff blowing around. So wind is involved. And there's just these nasty wind traps that'll blow you right into a wall of spikes, and then you're fucking dead. It made me so mad, but it was all so cleverly done. I was never mad. I was never like mad at the game legit. Like, this is shitty. I don't want to do this anymore. It was all just like, nope, I didn't do that right. So I have to go back and do this now because I didn't do it right. Like, I never felt that the game had cheated me. I just always felt like I fucked up.
Yeah, it's like some of the Mega Man traps. Like, I think it's Mega Man 10. There's, and this is a fucking terrible example because I can't even think of the boss's name, but there's a certain section of the game where you're running through and there's a bunch of the instant death spikes on the wall. And as you're walking through, the little copters drop down and pick you up and fling you at the side of the wall.
Oh, like, shit. Yeah, that stage is awesome. I can't remember what stage that's in.
It's like Gravity Man or some bullshit. It's something.
Nah, Gravity Man's Mega Man 5.
Go, yeah, that's not even close. but like, it's the same thing playing that game. You walk through and you're like, I'm not even mad. It's a Mega Man game. Why am I just running blindly through this game? I know better, so I'm going to be better.
Yeah, man, that's how it works. And that's how Shovel Knight works. And it's great. But all right, well, that's what we've been playing. We're going to take a quick break. I'm going to grab myself a tasty beverage. And when we get back, we're going to talk about comic book video games. We'll be right back. And we're back, everybody. That was a fun break. It really was. We actually lost Dan from the call for quite a while there. It was something special. But our man behind the scenes, Dean, was able to pull him back from the ether. And we've returned. So we're gonna have a quick discussion about comic book video games, because, you know, Garden State Comic Fest is tomorrow, not this, or 2 days ago when this gets posted on the internet. But, you know, for us, it's tomorrow, and we're in a very comic booky mood. So we figured it would be fun to talk about some of the good and not so good comic book games of years gone by. I'm gonna start with, since we have Batgirl on the podcast. I take it you've played a couple of Batman video games in your time?
Mostly the Lego ones.
Indeed. The Lego ones are probably the best ones, besides the most recent Arkham games. I was going to actually bring up the NES Batman from Sunsoft. Did you ever play that one?
No.
Oh, that game is awesome. Dan, you?
Yeah, I've played the shit out of that game.
I've never beaten that game, because it's a Sunsoft NES platformer, and it's hard as... just tough as nails. But that game was really, really cool, and it was probably up and, you know, that and its sequel, Return of the Joker, specifically the NES versions. The Genesis games never really did it for me, but they were the gold standard of Batman games for a very long time, if I remember correctly, because, I mean, there was a... I guess Batman and Robin on Genesis was pretty good. That was the one based off Batman and the Animated Series. That was pretty decent.
That one was good. I really liked, I think it was Sunsoft as well, the original Game Boy Batman game, which I still have.
Was that not just a port of the NES game?
I think it was. It's been so long since I played it, but I remember spending an inordinate amount of time on this little black and white game where he shot, like, the bullets out of his gun, you know, which Batman shouldn't have a gun, but whatever, were just like giant balls. It was this really weird, weird thing, but it was really fun.
Oh man, I am looking at a YouTube video. This is not that game at all. It's Batman with a freaking gun.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it controls kind of like, oh, Angie, you got to see this. I'm going to send you the link. All right. So it looks like it almost plays like N plus. Like, he's really floaty.
Yeah.
He's like this really cute little chibi Batman.
Yeah, he's adorable.
And he's just walking around shooting guys.
Yeah, like, he just walked around shooting fools and with a really floaty jump. It was this very strange...
Wow, and yeah, this is Sunsoft. I never bothered with this because I just assumed it was a port of the NES game. This is totally different.
Yeah, no, I still got it. I still have it in my Game Boy case.
You know what's weird? I think I might actually have this. Oh my god, do I own this and I just haven't bothered to play it? No, I don't. Okay, I feel a little bit better about that now. Wow. Yeah, you learn something new every day. So, okay, but yeah, this harkens back to the same kind of area. I mean, I don't remember any of the Batman Returns games being any good. And then there was, like, you know, Batman Forever, but those movies were garbage as well. So that doesn't really surprise me that those games were junk.
Yeah.
And then you had, like, the... Man, were there any Batman games in the PlayStation era? Or was that...
Not on the PlayStation 1, I don't think, but there was one, and I am struggling to remember the name right now because I'm very, very tired. There was one that came out... The sequel to it was The Rise of Sinzu, and that one was terrible.
Batman Vengeance is what you're thinking of.
The based on the animated series PS2
yeah.
one?
Yeah, that PS2, one GameCube, really, and I think Xbox.
That one was really good.
Yeah, I remember that one being pretty decent.
Like, the voice acting was awesome. It looked great. It looked just like the animated series. That game was awesome.
And then you had, which was really unfortunate, then you had Batman Dark Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Correct me if I'm wrong. That had Resident Evil style tank controls.
It was a festering pile of shit.
Because what you want out of your Batman game is to not be mobile at all.
I want this uber elite ninja to move like he's got lead in his ass. Such a bad idea.
Now, you've played, Angie, you said you had played the Lego Batman games. I actually haven't played either of the Lego Batman games, but I hear great things. Right, there's only two of them so far, right?
Yeah, the third one's coming out this year.
The third one looks kind of like general DC Universe stuff, but,
Well, it's like Batman in space.
Yeah, so...
Done. Yeah, Batman in space. Done. Sign me up. Give me two in case one breaks.
In case I get some scratches.
I mean, they're great games, but if you're, like, obsessive like me, you have to collect every goddamn thing. It's a pain in the ass. Especially when your lovely husband just wants to run ahead and beat everything up while, you know, trying to collect things. It's not fun. Although they did fix that in one of the Lego games. They made it so the screen splits. So basically, like, one of you can stay at the spot you are, and it doesn't pull you ahead like it used to.
Oh, kind of like Toe Jam and Earl on Genesis. Like, you're on the same screen when you're in the same place, but as soon as somebody wanders off, the screen splits?
Yes.
Awesome.
Which stopped quite a few arguments.
Yeah, I don't understand how people play those games together. Like, they are as charming and as fun as those games are to play in a group of people, it is much better when it's only one person with a controller and everybody else is just watching and having a good time. Because you're right, the split screen on them is just awful. And especially because, I mean, they're games for, I mean, you know, I play them too, and I'm in my 30s now, but they're games for kids, and I don't understand how kids play these.
Yeah, but look at the stuff that we used to play.
No,
we beat Mega Man, all right?
No, sure. I suppose there's a point there. But, like, I mean, I'm just saying the way that the screen splits, it makes it very difficult to orient yourself in the space that you're in. Yeah,
it'd be hard. I did notice I got turned around a bunch, but, you know.
Yeah, it just does a really poor job of maintaining where you are.
But it's also better than getting dragged along while somebody's running ahead, you know, if you're in the middle of doing something.
No, that's true. That's definitely true.
It's now, the first one...
Collecting all these things.
The first one had that kind of pantomime thing going on, but the second one had voice acting, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did that... See, that was one of the things I really liked about, like, Lego Star Wars and the Lego universe is that it didn't have voice acting. There were no words. It was just all this weird pantomime stuff, and I thought it was hysterical. Did the voice acting add to it or take away?
I think it really takes the Lego games and puts them... Like, it puts Lego Batman in a category separate from the other Lego games. Because you're right, like, one of my favorite things, and just, it's one of my wife's favorite things as well, when we played through Lego Indiana Jones, like, the scene where he is switching out the idol with the big rock, and he's kind of looking at it, and just, like, all that kind of shit was just, it was really charming and fun. And when you have full voice acting in the game, it definitely makes it a very, very different experience. And the voice acting's not, in my opinion anyway, is not great. It's adequate, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, for a Lego game, it's pretty good, but if it was, like, you know, Arkham City, I'd be kind of like, what is this shit?
Yeah, the guy doing the Joker is certainly no Mark Hamill.
Well, the Arkham games are genuinely awesome, but we're steering pretty far away from retro territory here, so let's shift our focus to... somebody who hasn't fared quite so well in the video game department, Superman. Now, I remember when I was a kid playing Superman on Atari 2600, and to this day, I still have no idea what the hell you're supposed to do in that game. Have either of you guys played this game before?
No.
I've played it very briefly, and I'm in the same boat as you. It's like, I am willing to suspend my disbelief quite a bit. Like, I'll play adventure. Like, sure, I'm a knight. I mean, I recognize that I'm just a block, but I'll go with this whole story. Awesome. But there is just no suspension of disbelief that can get you through that mess of a game.
I mean, it's... All right. It's... I remember being... fascinated with the fact that I'm playing a Superman game. I was like, oh, cool, I'm playing a Superman game, and I can fly around as Superman. Like, oh, I walk into a phone booth, and now I'm Superman, and I can fly. And I would fly all over the place, but that would only keep me occupied for like 10, 15 minutes before I wanted to figure out what it was I was supposed to do. And there's like, you know, people flashing on and off the screen and little star things and who knows what the heck else. Like, I just couldn't figure out what it was I was supposed to be doing.
It was a long time of going, oh, what the hell is that?
What is that? Was this diamond looking thing? Now the room is red. Now the room is blue. Now the room is purple. Now what is this? Aquamarine? What am I looking at here? I can pick people up.
That's when you could use a strategy guide.
Yeah. They didn't have strategy guides back then.
Where the hell was Prima with my Atari 2600 Superman strategy guide?
Exactly. Now, I can't remember any Superman games for the NES. I feel like there must have been. But then, like, I remember there being a Sunsoft-made Death and Return of Superman, which was, you know, quasi-decent. You know, obviously Superman 64, which...
Oh my god.
All right, so I have a fun story about Superman 64. I was working at Funko Land at the time, and we remember seeing all these trailers and stuff. Dean just chimed in the best. We kept seeing trailers for this, and it looked kind of cool. I mean, obviously, the graphics have not aged well, nor were they good at the time, but, you know, it had the voice actors from the cartoon, and it was like, it's Superman on N64. This is going to be awesome. And then we got the game in, and we were all so excited to play it. We just ripped a copy open immediately, threw it in the interactive, and we're like, all right, Superman, let's do this. Let's play some Superman. And they're like, fly through my rings. I was like, okay, Lex, I'll fly through some rings. And so we're flying through these giant metal hoops suspended in the air with the green kryptonite fog as far as the eye can see, and and we can't get through it because you have to do it with like extreme precision, and we're like, all right, this is fucking bullshit, but let's at least get to the game. Maybe this is just like a stupid tutorial level or something. And so we finally get to the game, and we're like, we picked up a car and we threw it, and then we've got a game over. We're like, what the fuck just happened? What is this shit? And that was it. That was the game. That was as far as we got, because who the fuck was to play that anymore? And it was so disappointing.
Yeah, that is the exact example of what not to do. Like, you want to make a good game, don't make Superman 64, because that fucking sucks on toast.
Now, for the record, I am currently watching a YouTube video of somebody playing through to completion Superman for the Atari 2600, and I have absolutely no idea what's going on. Like, this person knows what they're doing, but, like, he's got a helicopter, I think, in his hands, but it's the same size as a person that they just dropped off in a blue building, and now the person is turning into a helicopter. There's a little star chasing after him. Now he's outside. He's walking around. It's green, it's blue, there's a door, now it's red. Right. Now he went through the floor, and now he's outside again. What the hell is going on here?
Yeah, no, I mean, clearly the problem was us not being able to make our way through it.
Clearly we were at fault.
Well, and really, I mean, the only good Superman game that I've ever played is the Superman arcade game, which, from what I understand, is not the most well-known game to have ever existed, but there, I believe it was, and I could be wrong, it could have been just some random pizza joint in South Jersey that had a copy of it, but I think it was the arcade in the Deptford Mall had a Superman arcade machine, and you walk around and you punch and kick, and then you get to another stage and you fly around and you shoot your heat vision, and the animations are not stellar, but they're bright and they're colorful, and the bosses were pretty cool, and it's just a really sweet game. And I feel like I'm the only one who's ever played it, but I know that it exists. I've seen YouTube videos of people playing through it. And it seems crazy to me that during a time like when this game was out in the arcades, everything that was in the arcades got ported to home consoles. Every single game that was out there, like there's a root beer tapper home port, and I didn't have a tapping thing on my NES.
That's true, you know? But it was also true that a lot of games didn't get ported. Like, notoriously some games didn't get ported, like Simpsons and X-Men. Like, those games just didn't didn't happen.
Sure. I guess maybe perhaps then it feels like everything got ported. Because, yeah, I mean, we're in the time of, you know, Mortal Kombat and Street Fighter, and it was like everything I can play in the arcade, I can play at home, and this is awesome. And Final Fight and Ghosts and Goblins and all this stuff. And this really fun Superman game just happened to not ever be ported. And for that reason, not a lot of people know about it.
Yeah, I mean, I was completely in the dark about it before you told me about it, and I looked it up. But similar to that, I'm checking out a video of, is another one I've never played, but Sunsoft's Death and Return of Superman. And it's pretty sweet looking. It's like Final Fight with Superman.
Yeah, yeah, that was Super Nintendo, right?
Yeah, Super Nintendo. I think there was a Genesis port, too.
I think there was a Genesis one, yeah.
This is great. Like, he's just walking along, beating up dudes, but he looks like Superman, and he fights like Superman. He'll just be like, you know, here, you're a dude, and I'm just going to pick you up and throw you across the room one-handed. And he picks up the other guy, floats a few feet into the air, and then just tosses him. It's really cool.
That's how I do.
Looks like he's fighting, like characters from Apocalypse. I just fast-forward a whole bunch. Now he's got these street punks he's beating up, which is just funny. Some dude named Molotov, and he just put him through a window. Some guy's trying to attack Superman with a chainsaw. That's gonna go great for you, pal. But yeah, this is cool. I wish I would have tracked this down and played it. It's certainly a hell of a lot better than the Atari one. Well, and then you had the crappy Superman Returns on a PlayStation 2, and I don't think there's been a good Superman game in a very, very long time.
It's just such a hard thing to crack, man. I mean, if you're gonna be Superman, you can't get hurt. So
yeah, that's a valid point.
Give me a life bar, but then they tried to do that in the, I think it was EA who made that one, the Superman Returns game,
yeah,
where I have to save the city, but now I'm just flying around saving a bunch of people instead of doing cool Superman shit. It's a hard thing to crack. Like, it's why his comic books are hard to write, and you know, his movies are hard to do, because how do you make a movie about somebody that can't ever get hurt? Or game?
Well, for starters, you probably make it slightly colorful and add a touch of levity. Just well, throwing that out there, Mr. Snyder.
He's a neck snapper, that's Superman. Neck snappy soups.
Look, it doesn't bother me that he killed Zod. Superman always kills Zod. I'm just saying, all right, say what you will about Superman
Reeve
Returns.
Never killed Terrence Stamp, my good sir. Threw him back in the Phantom Zone.
But,
actually, at the end of Superman 2, he does kill him, doesn't he?
I think he does.
He tricks him to falling down that thing with no powers.
Yeah,
which is
I'm
just
pretty
brutal.
Sure he does.
Actually, yeah, Superman's a dick.
Superman kills Zod. That's the thing. He right. fucking does that. That's not the complaint. The complaint is that it's like, all right, you can say what you will about Superman Returns, but there are things about that movie I absolutely love. Like, the whole thing with the kid is dumb and all that other jazz, but the Superman moments in that movie, like, his outfit was bright blue and red. He flew around in the city and he, like, saved people with his heat vision, and he caught that plane, and it had a sense of humor to it. It was lighthearted.
That he threw in that line of, you know, it's still the safest way to travel.
Exactly.
I was grinning like a schoolboy. Like, just like, I had the biggest smile on my face when that happened.
Yeah, it was really cool, and it was stuff like that the new movie was missing. It just took itself so seriously. But we're way off topic here. We're talking about movies now. Let's get back to games. Who else? What other comic book games are there?
Well, there was and maybe this is stretching it a little bit because it's more of a comic strip, but I absolutely love the Dick Tracy game. Now, sure, it was based on the movie as well. But that Genesis game, I absolutely love it. I am a huge, unabashed Dick Tracy fan. It is one of my very, very favorite things in the entire world. And that game was just super fun. I loved everything about it. I loved the fact that I could be walking down the street punching dudes in the face and then pull out my Tommy gun and just start blasting things in the background. It was really cool. It was bright and colorful, and the bosses looked cool, and, you know, like, it's just the Dick Tracy world is such an interesting place you know, with the weird technology that shouldn't exist at the time period it seems to exist in, and the very strange mobster characters that are in there, there was just a sense of again, like, I think kind of the common theme with a lot of these games is that there's just a lot of charm to them. You know, the superhero games that we like have heart and levity and charm, and I think the Dick Tracy game had that. Certainly the Spider-Man game on PlayStation 1 was...
Yeah, that's a real good one.
Absolutely brilliant. The voice acting was phenomenal. Stan Lee being in that game was just... I mean, and hamming it
Bruce
up...
Bruce Campbell was in it too, wasn't he?
Bruce Campbell's in that game? Like,
I think, yeah.
Oh, God, it's just fantastic. The fact that you start off in your first interaction is with Black Cat. It was like, all right, this game's going to be good. You know, this is a game that is made for people who like the comics. There's been a ton of great X-Men games. I mean, not even counting the Konami 4-player X-Men game, which is just kind of silly and ridiculous. But, you know, the oh God, drawn a blank on what it is now. The made by Raven Software, the X-Men
Legends?
Yeah,
there you go.
Games.
Those are pretty Super good. I love X-Men Mutant Apocalypse on Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
Even X-Men for Genesis was really good. X-Men for NES was terrible.
That was really hard. That was another game where I had no idea what I was doing. I was like, I think I'm Cyclops and I think I'm shooting things, but nothing really seems to be happening. Oh, look, now
it
I'm Nightcrawler.
It looks like Gauntlet, but just terrible.
Yeah. But there was a pretty good Wolverine game for the NES.
Yeah, that was decent.
It was fun. I mean, for what we had back then, it's certainly better than the Wolverine movie game that came out.
Which one?
Any of them? They were all bad?
Well, there was that one that was M-rated that was kind of fun, where you literally killed dudes and it was bloody and shit. That was awesome.
Yeah, but then you had to have that really awful fight with Deadpool at the end that is just, it's almost literally impossible.
True. Well, it's not as bad as, you know, trying to win a fist fight with a helicopter at the end of a cliffhanger, but cliffhanger, movie games. We'll have a conversation about that another time. Here's a different kind of comic book game. Did you ever play Comic Zone on Genesis?
Oh, Comic Zone is fantastic.
That's a really cool game, and it's not actually based on a comic. It's just based on comics in general, and it's a... You know, you're this artist named Skitch Turner who gets a...
Because of course you are.
Of course, Skitch Turner. He gets sucked into his own comic book, and his comic book villain is trying to take over the real world, so you're trying to escape the comic book world. And it's amazing, but as Dean just noted in our Skype chat, the game is great, but it is hard. It's one of the hardest games I've ever played. I've never finished it, and it's not a matter of looking up a strategy guide or something online. It's just a matter of execution. It is so difficult to execute what you need to do in that game because everything takes health away. Yeah. Like, you have to break this block to get to this next room, but it's going to kill you. Like, it's just going to take health away to punch a block. Everything kills you. It's so hard, but it's so brilliantly done where you literally move from panel to panel. Like, your character will grab the white between panels and jump in front of it to get to the next panel, which is the next part of the game. And it's just... It embraces comic books so well in such a unique way. And it's a shame that game never got any kind of sequel or anything like that. It makes me sad.
Well, just too damn hard. We certainly appreciate a certain level of challenge in our video games, but there comes a point where it's like, all right, this is just kind of unfair.
Yeah, and that's kind of where I would hope a sequel would take it. Like, you make another one of these things that is a bit more fair and a bit more easy to play. Now, Angie, you had mentioned during the break something about the Walking Dead games.
Yes, they're fantastic. I mean, it's silly.
You're talking about the adventure ones, right? Because I've heard the shooter Survival Instinct was a steaming pile of feces.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Telltale games that comes out in the episodes.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, they're really good. I mean, it's basically like, you know, you just make choices and then like other people's actions like, are affected by the choices you make. And I mean, there's not much choice though, because some things are going to happen no matter what you pick, but it's still kind of like, it makes you feel like you're part of it, I guess. because you're choosing to do things instead of just like running and jumping or whatever.
Now, do these tie into the? Because this is a question I've had ever since their inception. Do these tie into the show, the comic, or neither, or both?
A character from the comic does show up in the game, but I haven't seen anybody because the only person really specifically for the show, I mean, a main character was Daryl and Merle, but they don't really show up in the game at all.
Ah, Daryl and Merle.
Glenn from the show and the comic, he shows up in the game too.
Does he seem more like the Glenn from the comic or the Glenn from the show?
Well, the Glenn from the show is actually pretty true to the comic, so...
That's a valid... I'm sorry, I was thinking of Dale for some reason. Glenn is pretty spot on, so I guess that could be either universe. That's interesting.
I mean, it's in, like, the early Glenn before... I think pretty much before he meets up with Rick, because he still kind of, like, has his baseball hat, and he's, like, you know, ex-pizza delivery driver.
Gotcha. Still really risk-taking and
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's interesting. So there's no other real crossover with the main characters from Walking Dead?
Not so far.
The storytelling in those games is just fantastic. I mean, like Angie said, you're not really doing much. Like, there's certain points where a zombie will jump out and you got to kind of shake them left or right, you know, to get them off you or whatever, dodge and attack a little bit. But most of it is really just choosing that. You have four options to continue your conversation, and people are going to react to you a certain way, and you can be a complete prick, or you can be caring, and it's really engrossing and very, very well done.
And like I said before, it's one of the only video games that actually made me cry. Professor Layton being another. No, really, the story at the end of the one, it was really sad. So
I'm just imagining Luke, I think I've got it. And the game made me want to cry for a very different set of reasons.
Says, I think I've got it right before he gets run over by a train. Oh. Poor decapitated Luke.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know, but he's annoying. But no, those Walking Dead games really are really fun. And it's an interesting take on, you know, how do we take a comic book, which is already really its own, you know, very much its own medium. Like it's the great thing about comic books is that you can literally do whatever you want, but we have already kind of established what video games are, and there's certain rules that you don't break. So how do you translate this world into video game form? And the narrative storytelling structure that Telltale has come up with is really, it's quite brilliant and quite simple. You know, they really boil it down to its basic elements, and they've done it with Fables as well. The Wolf Among Us, they've put that out, which plays in almost exactly the same as The Walking Dead, and is very, very good. I know it's not necessarily a comic book, but they're doing a Game of Thrones coming out relatively soon, which I'm really interested to see how that will go. Based on, I've never read the Game of Thrones books, but the differences that I know about to a point of the books to the show and where they choose, if they go that Walking Dead route of kind of living somewhere in between. Because I think that's really the nice thing about this Walking Dead game is that it could take place in either universe, just three towns over.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, this could just be like 20 miles away from Rick and his crew, could be this little pocket of people existing and going through their own shit.
I'm interested to see the season 2 finale episode comes out next week. So I'm interested to see if they're going to tie in maybe like another character from the comics. Because we haven't really seen anyone since Glenn and he hasn't popped up again. So I'm kind of hoping that there's another little, you know, something for the comic people to say, oh, hey, look, who that's, you know, what's his face?
Now, this is interesting. I remember this game coming out a while ago, and I never got it. I wanted to, and I never got around to getting it. Marvel Superheroes War of the Gems for Super Nintendo. What I didn't realize until, like, I'm just looking at a video of it now is that this game was made by Capcom, and it's using a lot of the same It's a 2D action game, like a 2D brawler, not like a Final Fight or something. You can only move left to right. There's no depth of field, but it's using a lot of similar animations as the Capcom Marvel fighting games, which is really interesting. Like, I was just looking at a video of Iron Man fighting Blackheart, and Blackheart looked an awful lot like the Blackheart sprite from the Marvel Superheroes arcade game. Spider-Man has the same walking animation. The still animation, like when you're on the character select screen for Iron Man, looks like a picture of him from Marvel Superheroes, the arcade game. And this game looks cool as heck. You know, going around collecting power gems, beating up villains like Doctor Doom and stuff, and that looks great. Which, and then there's also the fighting games, you know, Marvel Superheroes and X-Men Children of the Atom. Those games were awesome.
Yeah, those were, I mean, they're seminal fighting games. You know,
yeah, and the Children of the Atom was kind of the first one of that group. And I remember when Children of the Atom came out, thinking that it was really cool because it wasn't based on the cartoon, but it used voiceovers from the cartoon for the characters that were also there. Like, they had the same actors that did Cyclops and Wolverine, and I thought that was so cool.
Well, and really, I mean, the only disappointment I've ever had with those games is that my favorite X-Men is not in them, and nobody else likes Longshot but me. But damn it, I want Longshot in one of these games.
Kind of hard to fit him in there. I mean, he's such a... Like, storyline-wise, it's hard to fit Longshot in, I guess.
Do you need much of a story for a fighting? I mean, really? He's there.
I guess, we were talking about the Spiral was in that game, for crying out loud. So
set the whole goddamn thing on Mojo World. There you go. Fucking Longshot's in it. Next.
Of course, that's your favorite comic book character.
Of course he is. He's got a sparkly eye and a mullet. You know how I like him.
Well, we could go on all night, but we're gonna call it on this one. You know, we've discussed a handful of comic book games. There's a lot of cool ones out there. Is there any final thoughts, Angie? Any last things you want to say? Any last words you want to throw in there? Any other games you want to discuss?
No, I think I'm good.
Cool, Dan.
While it's not a retro game, if you have not played Lego Marvel, you're really missing out. It is an incredibly charming, very witty, very well-controlling, just super fun game. Deadpool is amazing in this game. It's just awesome.
And I got nothing. I can't think of any other games besides play Spider-Man for Atari 2600, because you just kind of climb a building, you web swing from window to window, and the Green Goblin's in it, and you should play it. It's outstanding.
You web swing from window to window and pick up little spiders out of the windows when they open every now and again.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's as awesome as it sounds. Also, track down this Marvel Superheroes game, because right now I'm looking at Hulk beating up like weird green abomination versions of Wolverine and Puck. Like little weirdo mutant pucks running around. It's kind of awesome. And that's going to be our show, everybody. We're going to be at the Garden State Comic Fest this weekend. We've been talking about it on the site for a couple of weeks now. And if you're hearing about it for the first time on this show, then I'm sorry you missed it. But it should be a pretty good time. It's going to be the first time a lot of us are actually meeting face-to-face, too. Most of us don't really know one another outside of the podcast. And that's going to be a real interesting experience.
Chris, you're breaking the fourth wall. Don't listen to him, kids. We've been buddies for years.
We're all sitting in the same room.
Right now. You're such a liar. God.
Other general plugs, check out our website where this podcast comes from, geeklife.com, G33KLIFE.com. Send us emails, ask us questions. We'd love to read about them on air. Any questions you've got for us, any comments on comic book games, any comic book games that you feel like we missed and deserve to be conversed about, send us an email at g33kliFESITE@gmail.com. That's geeklifesite@gmail.com. I just posted up a new Lost in Time article about the underrated Super Nintendo classic The Twisted Tales of Spike McFang, which is way cooler than it sounds, I guarantee you. It's a really cool game. and really underrated because it just kind of, as I discussed in the article, it came out at a time where there were just a dearth. It was just so many good Super Nintendo games, and this one just fell through the cracks, it seemed. And I'm sure the box art didn't help either. It had a looked like another dude with a tude game, and there was way too much of that crap in the 90s. But
you already had Bub. What else did you need?
What else did you need? But I digress. So, Angie, thank you for being our guest tonight. We appreciate having you.
Thanks for inviting me.
No problem. And Dan, you can go fuck yourself.
Will do, sir. Will do.
And on behalf of Dean, who has been typing to us through the glory of the internet all evening long, we're gonna sign off and have a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Bye.
Bye. I used to work at the Shore store. It was fucking horrible. I went to murder everyone. And now I only want to murder like a few people.
That's good. That's good.
It's retail. It
yeah,
sucks.
Well, yeah. No, retail's awful. I typically want to murder a few people on my drive into Brooklyn in the morning. And I've only been doing it for a few weeks now. But driving from Staten Island into Brooklyn in the morning, I'm like, you're just a fucking asshole. And I should run you off this bridge. Because the world would be a better place. Nobody would miss you. Your family would thank me. It'll be all right. You are just a fucking blight on society.